You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
As high achievers, we sometimes wear overworking like a badge of honor.
For sure.
And then another thing is who you're around and what you're allowing in your space. Come on.
For sure.
Because you can't have this big audacious goal, this big audacious opportunity if people around you are speaking down on that.
Because your physical being is getting all those things, but that non-physical spirit, soul, heart, person needs some time. And that's either taking a walk without taking a meeting in your headphones.
Ouch. And what I've noticed is that in my ability to compliment myself, I can compliment other people. I can celebrate other people, right? And so that's me practicing my confidence is through my self-talk, because I'm controlling what I allow in my space. And I'm also driving out those negative beliefs or those negative thoughts. Because the truth is,
Marquis is here. Marquis Freeman. Welcome back, y'all. Welcome back to the couch. It's been a long, long time. And I know y'all are used to seeing me on a moment, but we are bringing the couch back. And I am so excited. And y'all know with this space, it is about healing, evolving, and transforming together in a sacred space. And I'm glad that each of you have joined us today. I have a special guest, but before I introduce who she is, I just want you guys to subscribe to the channel. And I want you guys to get ready for a whole new season of The Couch, where I am bringing women and men who are doing wonderful things in the earth, who are called and they are walking in their purpose and they're shining light everywhere. And the person I have today is doing just that. But I need y'all to subscribe. I need y'all to share this video with 5 people. Go to your group chat, your church group chat, your mama, daddy group chat, your cousin group. Put it all in the group chats and share this video, because it's going to be transformative. So today, we are talking about professional success and personal well-being. Mm. And in this space, y'all, we're going to explore the art of taking up space professionally, embracing confidence, practicing forgiveness and grace. We're going to be harnessing the power of saying no and the importance of self-grace and finding time to rest. We're talking about all the things today, okay? Marquis is here. Marquis Freeman. It's here. And y'all, she is the coach's coach, okay? And I am so glad you're here today.
I'm so happy to be here. I am better being here, okay? Yes.
I love that. Okay, I'm just super grateful. Even when she walked in the door, I was just like, her spirit, her aura, everything was just beautiful. But before we get started, how's your heart today? Tell the people how your heart is.
My heart is full. Mm-hmm. My spirit is heavy, tired. Mm-hmm. You know, we working, we hustling.
Right.
But my heart is full.
Well, I hope you find a little rest in this
Thank
talk.
You.
Because it's very comfortable here on the couch. We just going to breathe it in. Everybody too, y'all. If you got your journals, because some things may be said that you need to write down, need to remember. And I want you to be ready for that. So let's just connect to the moment and just be present with the beautiful Marquis. So who is Marquis for the people who are seeing you for the first time?
Marquis is still in transformation. A lifelong learner, a lover, a giver, an empath.
For sure.
An empath by nature, but an embracer too.
That's beautiful. Okay, so I know that you're a sports analyst, correct? When she told me her agent, I'm not going to say it because it's none of y'all's business.
I appreciate that.
Sure. And you've been doing it for how long?
Yeah, I've been in the space of broadcasting for the last 5 years.
Okay, but so what got you into sports? Because I was watching some interviews and I was like, she knows her stuff about sports. And my family, My dad has been a coach. All my brothers play every sport. And I mean, my dad had them doing every sport.
And you didn't get sucked into it?
I did softball, track.
Okay.
And then I ended up cheering. But then music was my passion. So I ended up going into music. But as a kid, yes, I was playing softball. I was a pretty good pitcher, too.
Come on now.
Okay. But my dad was a basketball star back in the day. And okay. He could play really, really well, as all his friends in college people say, your dad was the best. So sports was embedded in me, but I didn't get like the a sports IQ, I'll say that. I just watched it because it was on, but then I found something else to do.
Okay.
So how did you get into sports?
Similar experience. Like, okay. I have brothers. Mm-hmm. I come from a house full of boys, which comes with a lot of trauma.
For sure.
A lot of fun, though.
Uh-huh.
And I say trauma jokingly.
Got it.
Maybe not so much jokingly, mm-hmm. but... Yeah, so I just follow them behind them. You know, your mama, they send you out with them, take your little sister with mm-hmm. you. And so that's how it came about it. And then it went from being on the sidelines, kind of watching what they're doing, mm-hmm. imitating what they're doing, mm-hmm. to developing a passion for it. And so I had a chance to play in college, play professionally, and now I'm still in the space of sports.
Okay, so college, what college did you go to?
Northern Illinois University, but first stop was Florida A&M, so let's get it right, HBCUs. We don't miss. So yeah, okay. I started at Florida A&M and then I transferred to NIU and that's where I completed my studies.
Okay. And uh-huh. professionally?
I played professionally in Europe.
Nice.
And so yes, that was a cool experience. Mm-hmm. Culture shock.
Okay.
Take a city girl out the neighborhood and you throw me in Europe. But mm-hmm. that was an awesome experience. Yes.
So after that, you went into, how did you get into the sports analysis like part of your life?
It's so interesting because mm-hmm. like I grew up with a mild speech impediment that made me very self-conscious of how I communicate.
Oh, wow.
Yes, but my mom was a communicator. She worked in radio, she was a DJ. Mm-hmm. And so just seeing her excel in that space, that was something she always encouraged mm-hmm. and made sure we were prepared for and challenged too.
Okay.
So when I would have my little stutters or my insecurities mm-hmm. were surfacing, she would always challenge me, no, enunciate, nope, try it again,
mm.
right? And she made me combat that challenge, so.
That's-
And now what was once seen as my, you know, my gap, my mm-hmm. disadvantage is now my superpower.
Because, so. Girl, you are, every time I watch one of your interviews, even from the sidelines at the game, I'm like, you're on it.
You got to be on
point.
You
speak so eloquently. I'm just like, yes, Marquis. So y'all go look her up. Marquis friend of y'all. And I mean, she's on the sidelines at WNBA games, all the things. Okay. So y'all look that up. Okay. You said something else. You said you're an empath.
Mm-hmm.
And so am I. So when did you realize that? Like, when was your first? Because I found out at a very young age that I could sense or feel, what's the word? Bigger than most people, I'll say that. And I mean, and it wasn't until my adulthood that I could actually understand it for real. I just knew as a child, I'm like, that person's really not feeling it today. Or mommy, I don't really think that they da da da. Or my mom would say, girl, you read into it too much. Because my parents are church people, so they weren't really into energies. Okay. And so it's kind of like, I knew at a young age that I had a gift to feel and sense a room. And it's important for us to know how to guard that and protect it and make sure we know how to recharge ourselves and all of that. So how did you find out you were an empath? What happened?
It was my normal. Like I was raised by my mother and my great grandmother.
Okay.
And just watching how they navigated certain spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of situations just, they weighed on me. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't let certain things go. I couldn't let certain things happen to certain people. I was always trying to stand in the gap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, even with my brothers, like, there were certain situations they would experience, and I felt the need as a younger sibling in many situations to, like, nah, we got to do something about that. And I don't think I really realized that it wasn't normal until I found myself on the back end of a lot of situations.
Because
I would put myself out trying to be super saver.
Yes, for sure.
You know?
Yes.
And when I realized how that was affecting me and just, it contradicted with a lot of things that I was trying to accomplish, I was like, hold on, we need to look into this. Let's tap into this.
Yeah.
And so, having conversations with my therapist, therapy, okay? Mm-hmm. Come on now. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that later. But yes, having conversations and seeking advice and trying to get a better understanding of why and how to grow and what was okay, what was healthy and what was not. That I had to prioritize that.
Man, it was hard for me because I still want to save the world. I still do. And I know my mom, I have a spiritual mom who I confide in, and she's always just like, Joy, you sound like me. Because I want to give people the love that I know they haven't experienced. Yes. I want to be all the things. And I can remember even in elementary school, them picking on the nerd on the bus. And who now is like a what you call the people that do the weightlifting?
Bodybuilder.
Now he's a bodybuilder, okay. Right? And I mean, I used to fight for him on a bus, and my mom used to be like, that is not your battle to fight, child. Mm-hmm. I'm like, but they're picking on him. So that's dope that you're an empath. I think that's a wonderful gift when harnessed and protected.
Oh, definitely.
For sure. Mm-hmm. So in a world where we manage a whole lot of responsibilities and often find ourselves as the first or the only in many spaces, how do you stand tall and navigate the challenges that come, you know, your way, and how have you done that in your own life?
Ooh, child. Ooh. Because I feel like I'm the first and the only in every space that I'm in. Ooh. And so I think early on, I felt like I had to fight all my life.
I had
to fight. I feel like I always had to fight because I'm in spaces that are dominated by males.
For sure.
Middle-aged, white males. So I'm the youngest. I'm the only woman and one of the few people of color. Mm-hmm. And so feeling like, no, I had to advocate. I have to advocate. And it became this fight, and it did not feel good. Mm-hmm. And I did not want to be stapled or called the angry Black woman. Mm-hmm. And so I had to figure out how to navigate that space in the best way and realize that being the first or one of the only, that was not a badge of honor. Mm-hmm. Like, what's more powerful is creating space for other women, other men to enter the space that I'm in. And so, yeah, it was hard, and it still is. Yeah. I don't consider myself young anymore.
You are.
I receive that. Yeah, I receive it. But yeah, a constant fight, but embracing it. But I think in that space, what's really important is knowing that you belong.
Yeah.
I had to fight to believe that I truly belonged, especially when I experienced unfairness. Mm-hmm. And then always being told, be humble. That's something we hear.
All the time.
I can't listen. And when you go to Webster and you look at what the word humble means, it means to think less of yourself.
Right. Really low, and we're not doing that.
What are we doing? And that contradicts with confidence,
yes,
right?
It with God,
and
period.
So if I'm the only one here and I'm fighting to create space for other people, how can I be humble?
Yeah.
And so that's when I discovered the word audacity and having the audacity to stand in my truth, having the audacity to be authentic because it's hard to be authentic in those spaces, right? And so audacity is now my word. So we're not going to be humble. We're going to be audacious.
Mm-hmm. Come on, audacious.
Yes.
Okay. I love that. I love that. I'm just taking it in. Mm-hmm. Taking it in for myself for sure. Balancing a thriving career with self-care is no easy feat. A lot of us do and go all day and forget about ourselves. How do you prioritize your well-being while excelling in your professional endeavors? How do you do that?
I need to talk to you about that because I can't say I mastered it. Mm. In different seasons of my life, I understand in different seasons of the year, some are going to be heavier than others, right? Sure. And so I understand and I recognize that. But as high achievers, we sometimes wear overworking like a badge of honor.
For sure.
And so I've discovered that it's not balance I'm seeking because balance means to give equal. Right. And not everything deserves equal. Not everything deserves the fair share or portion of us. So I'm seeking harmony where everything gets what it's supposed to get. Mm-hmm. Right. Career gets this much. Family gets this much. But I would love to hear your take on that as well.
For sure. I think I like that harmony word. I like that. I still consider it balanced, though, almost like a balanced beam. Even though this side is a little heavier, it's still some things that are happening to where it's balancing out, meaning you're aligned.
Okay.
And I believe working and excelling in your profession definitely requires some time away.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. where you disconnect and unplug mm-hmm. from the studying, mm-hmm. the watching film. You know how y'all do. Uh-huh. And just diving into one thing when mm-hmm. your non-physical being, because your physical being is getting all those things, but that non-physical spirit, soul, heart, person uh-huh. needs some time. Mm-hmm. And that's either taking a walk without taking a meeting in your headphones.
Ouch.
You know, not responding to an email while you're walking, mm-hmm. just literally listening to birds. Mm-hmm. And listening to what they're saying, mm-hmm. looking at the clouds, laying back, looking up, and just watching them go by without saying, oh, this is a waste of time. It's not. Mm-hmm. To be still is recharging your battery to go back and do something. And then you learn that when you're not tired, you work more effectively. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that you do. You do a lot. Mm-hmm. And you were just at a conference here yes. in Atlanta. And I think after every big thing, you should take at least a day. And I know that might be hard for a lot of people. I just literally talked to one lady and she's just like, you're telling me to rest and I have to do this. And I mean, she broke down her schedule and I was just like, I'm still telling you to rest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even if that's 30 minutes, mm-hmm. you have to find it. So you want to wake up at 4 a.m.? I'm not saying that, but I am saying maybe the three jobs that you have, tell one of them today I can't mm-hmm. because I'm going to prioritize myself, because if I do not do that, then I won't live to do all three of these jobs.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Because you're here to live a beautiful, beautiful life. And I know this is why we're doing a retreat with corporate women and entrepreneur women and creative women like myself, because I feel like work just lessens this other side of us that is mm-hmm. very creative, very mm-hmm. just bright. And a lot of women I know are very, like when I say bosses, they are bosses, but they are stressed, mm-hmm. overwhelmed.
That part.
A lot on y'all plate.
All that.
and even doing this podcast, it becomes a lot, you know, even doing singing and learning music and I'm a mom as well. So it's like, it becomes a lot, but you have to prioritize that time away to not do anything, to not think about anything. And mm-hmm. it just literally changes your whole perspective of life, what you're doing, and all the visions that God is giving you. You'd be like, okay, I could go back now. I'm good. Mm-hmm. We all need it. Your phone died when it's done, too. So and you got to recharge that thing.
Ooh.
So we don't want to die.
I just gained anxiety from the idea of my phone dying.
See?
But yeah, that's its own thing.
And I get excited when mine dies.
Oh,
see?
Oh,
I get excited like, oh, okay, I got 30 minutes. Ain't nobody gonna call.
Listen, that's why we on the couch.
Yes.
That's why we are on the couch.
Yes. So yes, balancing that self-care and making sure it is your priority, women, men, you have to do it. You have to. And that's journaling, writing. Painting. I do a lot of meditative painting. Get you a sound bath. Relax. Close those eyes and just drift away.
No. No. Like, no, I can't.
Yes, you can.
I will not today. No, I just mean like the power of no, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't. Yeah. This is not in my best interest. Mm-hmm. I need to recharge. Yeah. And I think that's the greatest lesson I've learned here recently mm-hmm. is like the power of no. And being an empath.
Ooh, it's hard.
That can be lay struggle.
Oh,
okay.
Sure.
And so, yeah, the power of no is mm-hmm. really, really big in those spaces. And not all work is great work. Mm-hmm. Not every opportunity is a great opportunity.
That's for sure.
Yeah. So,
the power of no. We're going to get back to that no thing, y'all. So, just stay tuned. So, confidence is the cornerstone of success. But where does true confidence originate from? And how do you maintain it during moments of doubt and insecurity?
Whew, that's a heavy question. Heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I like heavy. confidence, like knowing where it's rooted, I think is extremely important.
The foundation is very important.
Because when it's simplified, mm-hmm. confidence is simply how you see yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that affects how you see the world.
Mm-hmm.
And how you treat yourself through how you see yourself impacts how you allow other people to treat
for
you
sure.
and what you think you're deserving of mm-hmm. and all of those beautiful things. And so knowing where it's rooted, I think, is extremely important.
Yes.
But also making a habit of like practicing confidence,
mm-hmm.
Because we all have moments where we're not so confident, especially in those big rooms where we experience imposter syndrome, when we're not sure if we're supposed to be there, where we're the first and the only. Yep. And you're going to have those moments where you feel like, hold on
a second. How did I get here?
Right. I'm from the hood, and now I'm on Wall Street,
right?
And so those experiences and recognizing it, but knowing how do you know you're supposed to be there? Mm-hmm. And so I think confidence comes from a few different things. And one of them, I think, is preparation. Mm-hmm. Every experience is relevant. And I've heard you say that. Mm-hmm. I've heard you say that in your moments, right? Mm-hmm. Like, every experience matters.
Yes, it does.
Good or bad, they are all relevant. Yes. And so if I have not had certain experiences doing certain things, if I ain't had experience flying through a storm, I am not going to be confident in that space. Mm-hmm. Right. And so whether good or bad, a good experience, a bad experience, that preparation is very relevant in that confidence. Sure. And then another thing is who you're around and what you're allowing in your space. Mm-hmm. Come on.
For sure.
Because you can't have this big audacious goal. This big audacious opportunity if people around you are speaking down on that opportunity.
Don't do that, girl. You know, they don't never, now they don't win when they go over there, girl. It's hard over there. So you might want to think about
that. Ain't nobody doing that. Right. Are you sure you want to do that? And so you have this big audacious goal. Mm-hmm. You dream it as big as God has told you to, right? And now you are allowing people in your space, whether it's social media. That's why I follow you on social media because I know you're going to feed my spirit, right? And so everything around us unconsciously affects us in some type of way.
For sure.
I can't tell you how many times I've been listening to a song and been like, my heart is broken and I'm not even going through that in that moment.
It happened today. I was like, oh, I feel sad. Let's change.
Right.
Let's change that.
Let's change the frequency, the energy. For sure. Yes. And so our influences truly matter. And then finally, just what we think of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, sweetie, you have to feed yourself what it needs.
Yeah,
proper supplements. I say my daily vitamins, right? I need some joy in my life. Mm-hmm. You're going to feed the right spirit.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
For sure. And confidence for me is simply the willingness to try. Mm. Like, that is the only way the confidence is going to be built. You want to be a swimmer? You got to jump in that water.
Mm.
And that's where it starts. You decide, I want to be a swimmer. Okay. I got to learn how to swim. I want to be a singer. I got to learn how to sing. You got to be willing to try it out. And there have been stages that I've been on where I've been like, you want me to come do what? You want me to speak? And I literally go to, are you Christian?
Yes, okay, I am. So,
okay,
come on
cool.
Now.
Okay. So Moses in the Bible, it's almost like that. Moses had imposter syndrome like a mug.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where God was like, okay, I need you to speak. Well, since you're not going to speak, I'm going to get your brother to speak for you since that stutter is really bothering you.
Come on now, because you're talking to somebody right now.
Okay.
We just talked about my experience.
Yes, for sure.
But continue.
And the way God used Moses, even in his speech problem and all the things, it's like God always prepares the way for us. Mm-hmm. No matter what you think your insecurity is, no matter what you think your challenge is, well, I can't really talk like them, but you want me to come talk to all the people that have degrees and things that I don't have. And immediately as I get on that stage, just like Moses got right on that rock and said everything God told him to say, women come up to me and go, I need to give you all my degrees. Everything I went to school for, you just said everything I learned in college, and I didn't go to college I don't have any degrees. I went to school to be certified as a life coach. But when I see people with their degrees and all these accolades, I just be like, God, are you sure you called me? And every time he says yes. Mm. And then he proves it with what room he sends me in.
Come on now.
And that is where your confidence gets built, when you know your foundation. Okay, God got me.
What do you say? I don't call on to qualify.
Listen,
I qualify
the calls
I called. Yes, come on now.
And so I think if we start leaning on that, the confidence is there. It's in what God told you and what God showed you. You are. And I always say, God, I want to see myself as you do. I just want to see myself the way you see me, and show me other people the way you see them too. So I treat them with the same love, you know. So confidence.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
Is a willingness to try it out, to go look over that cliff and go, you got, okay, cool, let's jump.
Yes.
Let's jump. So, yes.
So what I heard you say is courage.
For sure.
It takes some audacity to be confident.
For sure. Yep. And you got to try it out. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. And in moments of doubt and insecurity, always go back to what you know. Go back to what you've already done, what God has already showed you, and all the things you've already accomplished, and you draw from that. And your confidence is in the things that you've accomplished, big or small.
Those experiences.
For sure. For sure. Yes. So that's how we doing it, y'all. That's how you building your confidence. Okay. So what are some practical steps you take to cultivate and strengthen that confidence and self-assurance?
First, my circle, what I allow in my space, as I shared. But the second thing is self-talk. Because a lot of times we listen to ourselves as opposed to talking to ourselves. Those are two very different things. And so, like Joy, infamous. I will be walking around in the house by myself and say, you are so smart. I'll be walking through a grocery store and I'll do something very, very sympathetic or just a random act of kindness. And I would tell myself, you are a great person. And I will walk off that stage where I've just had a conversation with 1,000 people and I will say, you were supposed to be there. That's why you're here, sis.
Period.
Right? Yes. And so my conversations, even in my tougher moments, I extend myself grace.
Yeah.
No, you're all right. You done had a long day. You off a back-to-back, zero sleep, and you still gave the best of yourself. The best of yourself was a 7 today, sis, but it was the best of you, right? And so I'm constantly talking to myself. I was in my hotel room a couple days ago, and I got all these gadgets, and I got this one thing that I plug in. I try to get all my gadgets charging on this one device that I can plug into the wall. And I struggled to figure it out. And I was somewhat rushing to drop my stuff and go. And once I got it all figured out, I was like, man, you're so smart. You're so smart. But genuinely, genuinely, and what I've noticed is that in my ability to compliment myself, I can compliment other people. I can celebrate other people, right? And so that's me practicing my confidence is through my self-talk because I'm controlling what I allow in my space. And I'm also driving out those negative beliefs, beliefs or those negative thoughts. Because the truth is, as high achievers, we all have them. We attack ourselves daily with red pens. Oh, you ain't speak that well. You stuttered over this. You forgot to say, hey, what you doing? Like, right? And so catching that moment, now we're not finna do that. You off 0 hours of sleep. You did your absolute best. You prepared to the T, right? You are where you're supposed to be. And so self-talk is major for me.
That's fine. That's amazing. Practical steps to cultivate self-assurance. Let me see. What do I do? I just meditate. And I'm still mastering the self-talk thing because I talk out loud and I encourage people all day. But I will say when it's back to me, I want to start doing the walking around. Like you're maybe the fourth person that walks around and says it out loud. I normally say it to other people. Like, that was so beautiful what you just, oh my God, that was amazing. But when it comes to me, if I do something, I never really say it to myself. I just I just show up where I need to show up. But it's never a thing of, Joy, you did that. And I wanna start doing that. But I did read something where I was, because I journal a lot, and it said, write down the things that you would love to hear to yourself. Like you would want someone to say to you. And I'm writing down all these beautiful things, and then at the end it's like, now say them to yourself. And I was just like, I thought
that's
you said, right. Like, So everything that you want to hear, anything you want to hear, I'm beautiful. You did that. You wrote that book. You sang that song. Everything that you will want somebody to say to you, just say it to yourself right mm-hmm. now. Write it down. And then at the end, after you wrote it all down, say all those things to yourself and repeat them daily. And so I read them daily, but I'm going to start saying them out loud. Mm. Yeah, because every time I hear that, it just hits me in my stomach. Stormy Wellington did it on, are you familiar with Stormy?
I'm not.
She's a phenomenal.
Put me on now.
No, she's phenomenal. Okay. Like a network marketer, but she's an inspirational speaker as well. And every time she hit that stage, it's fire. Mm. But she was saying some things. I'm the head and not the tail. I create and not destroy. And I was, as she was yelling these things, I was just like, yes, absolutely.
I feel that, Stormy. Yes. Thank you for that.
Like, and so I'm definitely going to start saying things out loud to myself. And I want y'all to do the same thing. Cultivate that practical step to start strengthening your confidence and self-assurance. Because life be lifing.
Mm. And it ain't finna stop.
Listen, mm-hmm. So we gonna cultivate that step. I love that for real. Okay, so life's lessons are our greatest teachers. Mm. What is the most challenging lesson you've had to learn? And how did it shape the person you are today?
Mm. It's so many, Joy.
I know.
It's so many.
Give us a few.
A few?
Mm-hmm.
I would say the one that I'm still learning and growing from is grace, self-grace and extending grace to people who may make it hard to extend grace to. Mm. And so learning what grace is, I had a very unique relationship with my father, and he passed away 2 years ago.
Okay.
And so learning what our relationship meant, and he struggled with addiction. So I went to one of his meetings with him one day. And I remember when we walked in, it was in the basement of this church.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this whiteboard with two questions. The questions were divided by a line. And the first question was, how are you staying active during your addiction? But the second question was, how is God showing you grace recently?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just sitting on that question as we entered the room.
Mm-hmm.
And when we sat down, you go around and it's just like you see on TV.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to those meetings,
yeah.
Yes. Hi, I'm Marky. My addiction is, right? Mm-hmm. And so they got to my father and he shared his. And I was just like, I'm here to support my father. And listening to him answer that question changed my life, and it changed our relationship in that moment, because I had held some things against him for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained what grace was. And he said, well, when I think about it, you know, justice is when you get what you deserve.
Mm.
He said, mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Mm-hmm. And he said, grace is when you get what you don't deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And he sat in that for a minute. And my dad was one of the smartest people I know. He didn't graduate mm-hmm. from college, but one of the smartest people I knew. And he sat on that and he got quiet. And the pause was so pregnant, so
yeah,
long,
for sure.
That I looked at him just to make sure mm-hmm. he was still with us. And I had never seen him get emotional. And he had gotten emotional. And he said, grace is my daughter sitting here with me today.
Yeah.
And that took me to a different place, because for so long, I had not forgiven. I had not let go. And to see how heavy that was on him, and to actually witness the power of addiction, and to see how he was trying,
mm-hmm.
It made sense of a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember feeling so sorry.
Mm.
I just remember feeling, just quite honestly, like bad.
Yeah.
Like, why haven't I given him the grace that he deserved, the grace that we receive every single day? And maybe that would help him a little bit with what he's been struggling with my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that grace, we were able to walk out of that space and mend our relationship. And it was just a few years later that he passed away. But I learned that grace, just like forgiveness, is freedom.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
And I've also learned that God deals with us not by how people deal with us, but by how we deal with those very people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard, and I'm grateful for the time we had, the years that passed before he passed.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a lesson I wish I would have taken note of earlier. But if I did so earlier, probably wouldn't have meant as much as it means right now. And so, yeah, that's a lesson I'm still digesting. But I'm able to take that into every space that I'm in and every relationship that I have. But it's a hell of a lesson to learn.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think I'm on the other side of, I've given people grace so much. And we even had an episode about forgiveness. And my my friends are like, no, is everything forgivable? Me? I was like, yes, it is. Everything is. But I've been this way since I was a little girl. Mm-hmm. And I've learned how to weigh it now better. Like, this person, everybody deserves grace. Mm-hmm. But I don't have to be the extender of that. I'm going to let God. Because half of these people I may not even know. And I'm like, but they need grace. Oh, no, they need love too. Mm-hmm. And even I told the story of the person who molested me seeing him. And they were like, you forgave him? I waved. Because my forgiveness is that strong. Mm. Like, and I'm not saying that's easy for everybody because it's not. But I had to learn to allow God to help those people. Because me giving grace was just like, oh, okay, for them. Oh, good. Well, we could just move on. No, sometimes God wants to teach them a lesson in their pain and bring purpose out of that. So I had to learn to let God be God and do it his way versus me jumping in and being God. Like, I can fix it. I got it. And that's what grace too soon. It'll mess up the lesson sometimes. So
that's true.
I had to learn that.
That's true.
I had to let some things go, even with a family member of mine. Like, I tried to just do everything, show love, show grace, show forgiveness, and it's just like, no. And a friend of mine just told me a few days ago, Joy, you can't pour your pearls on the swine right now. Mm. And God is changing people. And so the time frame is always God's timing, you know. And I be doing stuff too soon. My love is limitless. It's crazy. So I've had to learn how to step back, let the lesson be taught and learned and accepted and then enjoy. Okay, now we apply this grace that you love to apply. So, but that's a beautiful story.
How does it feel for you to be able to extend grace in moments like the one you shared?
Amazing. Because it's so sincere. And at first I always felt a little weird or different, abnormal. Because I would be like around people who could be angry and who could really be holding on to things. And I'm like, should I be mad? Mm-hmm. That's what I've always, should I really be upset right now? Mm-hmm. Or people would say, you just don't care. I do care. I'm just saying the solution is love.
Yes.
Like, it's, but I care. And it mm-hmm. always came off to people as though I didn't, or I was just moving on to move on. And I'm like, no, like, my heart is really in a place of, I don't want to be upset. Mm. And who wants to be mad all the time?
Yeah. You said genuine.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be genuine.
It's genuine.
Grace is not, okay, you got it. You got it.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-mm.
You got it. That's cool. No, that's not grace.
And then too, grace for me, because I'm not a perfect person. And so I've learned, like, because I need forgiveness and I need grace, it's so easy for me to extend it. Because I know I'm the same, or I may need your forgiveness one day, so I'm not going to hold it against you.
But it can be hard to extend that grace mm-hmm. to people that are closer to us.
Yeah.
It's easier to give grace to our coworkers, mm-hmm. but to relatives?
Mm-hmm. It was hard at first.
Significant
sure.
others? Ooh, mm-hmm. wait a minute.
Yeah, it gets rough, but there's always, it's like God gives me the revelation so quick. And other people, they get to sit in their stuff for years. And with me, it's just like, he drops something in my spirit and I'll be like, oh, I got it. I can't even hold on to it after that. Like, I died for you. I chose to love in spite of.
Ooh.
I chose to drink that cup. I chose to die on a cross. I chose to, and for those who don't know the Bible, just think of it as someone sacrificing for you, you know, and it's kind of like, as Christians, I live that life. Like, I'm open to helping. I'm open to using my story to help somebody else. I'm just, I'm just open-minded in that way of, you're not perfect, I'm not perfect. The grace is just for all of us. And mm-hmm. if I have to be the example of that, I don't mind.
You said a couple of things that I just mm-hmm. took me there. And since we're going biblical, we're going to go there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it wasn't until afterward, you said being genuine mm-hmm. and the timing. Because mm-hmm. for a moment, I was like, okay, I'll give them a pass. And that's not mm-hmm. grace.
No.
There's a big difference.
You feel it.
But the time, oh yeah, mm-hmm. oh yeah. But the timing of it all mattered because yes. I was truly ready to extend that. And then it wasn't until after everything had passed and he had left us that I realized that it was truly genuine and I could walk away from that mm-hmm. and he could be gone and I could be okay. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, going back to the commandments, that's the only one that comes with a promise.
Yeah.
Children obey, children honor mm-hmm. your parents so that your days may be longer. Yeah. And so I didn't realize that until afterwards, because if I had been operating in that sense in the moment, probably wouldn't have been for the right reasons, mm-hmm. not so genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it matters. Ooh, and that one too, with my parents, my parents made us recite all the Bible verses. And that was the one. And I think they stuck that one in our heads.
Honor your parents.
Honor your mother and father and the Lord. So your days will be long. And if we did something, you cutting your days. And I used to be like,
ooh, wee.
It's slight trauma, but I understand, you know, as an adult, I started to understand, okay, you don't have to like what they do, but learn how to honor in spite of. Mm. And once I got maybe in high school, I learned a lot about my mom to make me love her no matter what. I don't care what she do. I'm being honest. She can call me and say some crazy things, or she can call me and say something. I don't care what Deborah Renee do. God has placed the love and honor in my heart for her where it's like, that's it. That's all I got.
Come on, Racine. Shout out to you.
Listen.
Because what would we be without our moms?
Right. That's all I have.
Yes.
And when I was pregnant, I believe that's when I started to look at her differently, because now I'm a mom and I'm like, how did you do this? Like, what in the world?
It makes
sense. So she became superwoman. All her stresses that she might have took out on us as children, the whoopings, everything that I thought was like, you hurt us. I forgave her instantly for mm-hmm. all of it.
That makes sense.
And I think if we start looking at our parents, because a lot of us struggle with our parent relationships, looking at it where we're in a state now where we have so much in front of us, so much knowledge that we could just tap into instantly. They did not. Their books were borrowed mm-hmm. in school, because my dad is like 70, my mom's in her 60s. So it's like their stuff wasn't as advanced as we are. So they didn't have the tools, the therapy, the people talking about self-care. My mom didn't. They didn't have it. So I can't expect a certain thing from her that she didn't acquire. So it's for us to lend that love to them.
They did the best they had.
Yeah,
they did the best they could with all they had.
And so those things at a young age just helped me be this person. Like, it was challenging. But it shaped me to be a lover, a light, a vessel, everything to people that I don't even know. So it's fire. Mm. I'm grateful for your dad's relationship. How's your relationship with your mom?
Amazing.
Okay.
You talked about your mother. Mm-hmm. Listen, Racine is she.
Racine?
She is her.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But just the epitome of the woman that I strive to be every mm-hmm. day. And when I talk about my relationship with my father, it was very much because of my mom that I was able to mend that relationship. My mom never told me a thing about my dad. She never told me a thing about my dad's addiction. Mm-hmm. And I would have questions, and she would always protect him and call your dad. Mm. Make sure you call your dad. You know, today's his birthday. Have you talked to your dad? When's the last time you talked to your dad? Don't talk to your dad about that, and don't you let nobody else talk bad about him. And even
that
when I would
amazing.
Have my moments where I was like, I want to go with my dad. And she was just like, and I couldn't have gone with my dad if I wanted to. Mm. You know, there was times he was put away and we couldn't get to him. And she just really protected that relationship. And there was a time where as adults, we put two and two together and said, hold on, you know. And so even to the day he passed, your dad called looking for y'all. Y'all checked in with your dad. and telling my brother, hey, you need to go figure that out. You need to work that out. And she never, and I've learned a lot more since he's been gone, mm-hmm. but I'm in a state of healed. And so I'm ready to receive a lot of the things she's ready to share with me. But like, she a cold piece of work, okay?
I can already tell.
She cold. And I'm just grateful for that. And so mm-hmm. when I watch my friends navigate difficult relationships and co-parenting, I can give advice from a different place. But that woman, you talked about putting two and two together, the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Baby, you did that.
Yes.
You
and that's
did
all I got. It's honor.
That. Yes.
For sure.
So one thing I don't play about is my mama.
For sure, me either.
As much as she never played about me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's dope. That is beautiful. Okay, I have to process things. That's why I get quiet, because that's dope. Okay. Y'all, it's been a beautiful episode. But before we go into your book, because she does have a book, podcast, and all the beautiful things, what's one thing you want the people to leave with that they can chew on and digest?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm. You getting to it on the couch. Didn't waste any time. I think it's fully understanding the power of being healed. Mm-hmm. Your platform is just about healing mm-hmm. and growth and finding self-discovery and the power in that. Mm-hmm. We'd be living in a much better world if all of us individually healed mm-hmm. and took the time to do the work mm-hmm. And not just accepting some of our flaws or our yeah. ways. And so I would like the people to know that you're the captain of that ship. Mm-hmm. You are in full control. Mm-hmm. Utilize your resources. Mm-hmm. You're not responsible for what happened to you, but you are responsible for what happens next.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Mm. Okay. So let's get into this book. Tell us about your book, Champions Creed. Give them a little bit so they can go buy it.
Yes. Yes.
Give
yes.
them a little bit.
I need y'all to do that. The undeniable principles that separate the good from great. I've been fortunate to be in a number of spaces around some incredible human beings. And I made it my responsibility to be a life learner. Mm-hmm. And I've taken my experiences on every level and everything that I'm blessed to do. Mm-hmm. And I put them all in a book, resources. So we talk about adverse situations. Mm-hmm. We talk about influence. We talk about honor. We talk about character. We talk mm-hmm. about that preparation. And so it's the best thing that I've ever done. And that book has taken me all over the world. And so it's only right that I share it. Mm-hmm. I share it with people and pay it forward.
Okay. So if you are interested in getting that book, all of her, what we call them? Links. All of her links will be in the description below. So y'all go tap on all of them. Go see what she has to offer. It's a wealth of wisdom, a wealth of knowledge, and all the inspiration that you need, okay? In that book, the podcast, even watch her interviews, y'all, on the side of the court. You'll learn something, okay? Tell the people how they can find you, your Instagram page, before we go.
At Markee Free, at MarkeeFree. Look me up. Stay connected.
Okay. So thank y'all. Thank you, Markee, for coming. For sure. I had a good time. I've learned so much. You're beautiful inside and out, and your story is remarkable, okay? So thank you for being a light. Thank you for coming. You got to come again. We got to hang out outside of this, too.
Oh, period. Yes, done.
For sure. So thank y'all for joining us. And remember, no matter what you do, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, there is always room for you right here on the couch. See you next time.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.